In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've shared with some of you before that until I went to seminary, I never really enjoyed history. I took history courses because I was required to and tried to do the best I could in them, but it wasn't really my thing. And I blame myself for that. I don't blame any teachers. But somehow, studying church history turned me on to history in general, because church history is fascinating. It reads quite frankly, just about as captivatingly as any novel might. And not only is it interesting, but as Christians, certainly as Orthodox Christians, I think it's very good for us to be acquainted with our history. As you've heard me say before, quoting others, and I truly believe this, if you're going to be a faithful Christian and really mature in your faith, and then know history, it's very difficult not to be Orthodox, at least a small O Orthodox, if not a capital O Orthodox, because history leads us to where we are today. Now, this morning's gospel reading is really a bit of a history lesson. We have the flight into Egypt. We have the slaughter of the innocents. We have the return to Israel. Then we have the relocation into Nazareth. We have all of that laid out for us by Matthew. It's a history lesson. And it reminds us, by the way, that what we practice, what we believe, what we know to be true is true because it's a historical reality, this life of Jesus. And as we consider this history lesson this morning, it's good to also remember that there are some wonderful lessons to be taken from it, and Matthew offers us at least three of them. First, Jesus goes to Egypt, but at what age? As an infant. And this is significant because there were people who were opposed to Jesus and his ministry, not only during his earthly ministry, but also subsequent to the resurrection and ascension when Christianity was beginning to expand. There were people who said, well, Jesus was a magician. And in fact, he went to Egypt and learned magic tricks. That was one of the ways that they tried to undermine the ministry of Jesus. And the response to that from Matthew is simply this. Yes, he went to Egypt, but as a baby. And it would be very difficult to teach a baby magic tricks. And then there's this lesson. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is the Messiah. He is the essential part in God's plan for the salvation of you and me, of the world, of the universe. And that's important for us to remember when people come knocking on our doors occasionally and tell us about new revelations that have to do with Jesus Christ. New traditions that post-date his earthly ministry, that post-date scripture itself, that post-date church history. History is complete with the incarnation. That is it. God's plan for salvation is fulfilled. God becoming man, dwelling among us, being crucified and rising from the dead, is the fulfillment of his promise, God's promise, and it is all that we need. And this morning's gospel reading is a reminder that Jesus is a ruler, a king in fact, but a different kind of king. The world is filled with all kinds of rulers. Some try their best, some don't. Some are moral, some are semi-moral, some are immoral. It's filled with leaders like those who would slaughter every male child under the age of two. And it's filled with people like Archelaus, who was so poorly thought of even by his family that he was not given full authority to rule. So instead we have Jesus, the king of all, not the earthly king. Jesus, the king of the ages. And Matthew uses this occasion to contrast these two types of rulers. And obviously we know that as much as people were looking for a Messiah to liberate them from Roman occupation, it really is in the end far better to have the Messiah that liberates us from the power of sin and death. Now, we are getting ready, of course, to wrap up one year and embark on another, and so we can return, if you will, to these three lessons from Matthew's Gospel this morning and think about how we might apply them as we begin 2019 in a couple of days. First is this: Jesus is the real Savior. His miracles during his earthly ministry were not magic tricks any more than the miracles that he works now are magic tricks. How could they be? He is at work in our lives. And I know that because I know he's at work in mine and in yours as well. And if we open the eyes of our hearts, we are going to see his miracles happening all around us. And this year might we all remember that and implore him to work miracles in our lives, to help give us the things that we need, not the things that we want. The fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan for salvation, laid out and foretold in the Old Testament, reminds us that God has a plan for the salvation of everything and everyone. He has a plan for your salvation and my salvation. And not only that, it's not a one-way street. This plan for salvation requires that you and I become participants, because he not only has a plan for our salvation, but each one of us has a role to play as that plan unfolds before us, a role to play in God's salvation of the cosmos. And we say that Jesus is the one faithful, true, and righteous leader, and that is in fact true. And we place our hopes from time to time on earthly leaders, and everybody in every country does it and has always done it. I'm sure there were plenty of people that placed their hopes initially on Herod and Archelaus as well. But we know that if we place all of our hopes on earthly leaders, we are placing our hope on men and women who are just as flawed as any other man and woman could be. So this new year, perhaps we would all be well served to place our hopes, our ultimate hopes, on Jesus, the King of all. I'm not saying to ignore politics or current events, but if we make Jesus the King of our lives, then we won't be disappointed. And in fact, while other people wring their hands as they worry about the news of the day, you and I, by placing Jesus as the King of our lives, will have that life in abundance that he promises us. Now, it is no accident that Matthew includes these elements right now in his gospel, because he is setting the stage. He's setting the stage for the remainder of his gospel. He's laying it all out right ahead of time. He wants people to know that Jesus is not a magician. He wants people to know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He wants people to know right at the very beginning that Jesus is the King of all. Jesus is the King and Messiah par excellence. And Jesus is just that. He offers you and me healing. Yes. He is the fulfillment of God's plan for salvation. Yes, and he calls us to be part of that plan. And he is the King of all. And unlike corrupt governments throughout the world, no matter where they may be, he will never fail us. And it is to Jesus that ultimately we owe our true and full allegiance. These are great lessons for us to consider as we get ready to begin 2019. Even those of us who might not be too terribly fond of history.